This is the User Adoption Podcast with your host, Henrik Dagir.
Who are you and what do you do?
Hi, Henrik. My name is Jennifer Hunt, and I am the founder of Florence Collaborative. We're a team of thinkers, doers, and strategizers that help small business owners make their big ideas come to life and get big projects done.
How are you involved with user adoption?
So my background with user adoption is quite varied and probably pretty atypical for how people think about user adoption. So usually when I hear about user adoption, it's in terms of technology, but truthfully, user adoption is a people thing. So anything where we're hinging on someone to change their behavior or change their mindset or change their habits, or you know, even just the way their way of doing things, all of that is a form of user adoption. So with that in mind, my background with people and user adoption is quite diverse. So currently I do communications and change management for a Fortune 100 company, but I've also been an Agile Scrum Master and product manager and educator with the Teach for America program. I've planned events and supported a merger, and I was even on a team called IT Cultural Transformation for a couple of years. And when it comes to user adoption, one of the big benefits of working with so many different types of people and ages and environments is that you can see very clearly the patterns that are emerging. And what I found with user adoption and all of these roles, the goal for each role was to design a solution that would make a change happen. And the most predictive factor for a successful change was whether or not the people involved chose to adopt it. So they needed to enroll in the new vision that we were presenting them. And of course, when I say new vision, that can be anything, using a new product or embracing a company strategy, changing a process, and even learning or doing stuff that they're frankly not in the mood to learn or do. So we encounter these types of scenarios regularly, and it all revolves around user adoption. So when I think about that, I simply think of user adoption as finding an ethical way to create a shared vision with another person and to begin moving in that direction together. And I'm meant to do that at scale.
Jennifer, what are the biggest challenges and successes with user adoption?
I think the biggest successes with user adoption come when you can identify two things. At number one, what's holding a person back from adopting the change in the first place? And number two, identifying what job the person wants your thing to do for them. So when you can identify those two things, you're at a really good starting point to serve your folks in a meaningful way and to keep them engaged over the long haul. And when I think about challenges, I think the biggest challenge with user adoption is the fact that you're dealing with change at all. So change is risky, and risk is something we as humans are evolutionarily programmed to avoid. So how do you get someone to forego the default, which is simply doing what they've always done in the past? Like, how do you get them to stop doing that and start doing something new? And you can't do that by focusing solely on more knowledge or rolling out more shiny features. You have to do that by making an emotional appeal to what they value. And you have to do it in a way that isn't slimy or sleazy or scammy. And before you can do that, you have to know the person that you're trying to enroll in your change. So all of these factors related to change, that's what I see as the biggest challenge to user adoption.
Jennifer, what advice would you like to share with people working on improving user adoption?
There are so many options. So I think the biggest piece of advice when trying to improve user adoption goes along with that big challenge. So, you know, of having someone change. So think of a real person. A lot of folks will think of a persona or an ideal client avatar or something along those lines, an imaginary person that is, you know, a composite of market research and assumptions and data. And I do think that's an incredibly important place to start. How can you even identify your people if you don't have some kind of idea of who they are? But I do think staying at that level is where folks make mistakes, because you need to make it real by thinking of a real life person. So one of my favorite examples of user adoption, and it's masked as a marketing story, but it's shared in the book Made to Stick by Chip Heath and Dan Heath. And as they tell this story, so Hamburger Helper, a food product by General Mills, it had been in a slump for a decade, and they started working with their brand manager and team to fix that problem. So they'd given that team three gigantic binders full of data and stats and market research and really everything you could learn about your ideal hamburger helper customer and their current buying habits. Well, the team looked at it and it was overwhelming, and they decided to change their approach. And instead of memorizing the binders, they went into the homes of their primary customers, which were mothers, and watched a couple dozen moms cook. And the thing that stuck out to me was a quote that I'll read. It's from the brand manager, and she had said, "I had read and I could recite all the data about our customers. I knew their demographics by heart, but it was a different experience to walk into a customer's home and experience a little bit of her life. I'll never forget one woman who had a toddler on her hip while she was mixing up dinner on the stove." We know that convenience is an important attribute of our product, but it's a different thing to see the need for convenience firsthand. And so from that experience, Hamburger Helper, they went on to totally revamp their product line. Now, they simplified it by cutting down the number of flavors available to moms, because one of their new flavors are risky to moms. They needed to make sure they could have a predictable flavor that their kids would eat every night. They stopped focusing on pasta shape and started focusing on the things that would make dinner time more convenient for the moms who are making dinner. And at the end of that story, the brand manager says, "So now when I've got a decision to make about the brand, I think of the women I met. I wonder what they would do if they were in my shoes. And it's amazing how helpful it is to think that way." So for me, when I hear that story, and I love it so much because it really drives home the point that with user adoption, you're focusing on real people, not users, not end users. A persona is logical, and a persona makes these predetermined decisions that are based on what you think. It's still about yourself. It's not about the person you're trying to serve, because we're not our own customers. So a shift in seeing a real person supports customer-focused solutions, which then increases adoption. So when I really think about that, I think, you know, a real person, Kim, who sits on the 8th floor in accounting, Kim leads with emotion, not with logic. And it's that emotional connection that you need to make in order to show them that adopting the new thing is going to benefit them. And of course, if you don't know a Kim, I would encourage someone who wants to improve user adoption to go get to know a Kim, preferably 10 Kims, or at the very, very least, finding someone who does know Kim and start building out from there.
Jennifer, where can we learn more about user adoption and your work on the subject?
Sure. So you can read more about user adoption on Florence Collaborative.
Thanks, Jennifer.
For more on this, visit useradoptionpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out useradoptionbook.com. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.